Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.
This is The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Matilda Bosley, and if you've been listening to Full Story's latest podcast series, Who Screwed Millennials, then you will have heard from Yiannis Varoufakis.
Yes, hello, I'm Yiannis Varoufakis. I used to be an academic economist in Australia as well for 12 years. Then after Wall Street collapsed, Greece was the canary in the mine.
Thousands gathered outside the parliament in Athens, determined to halt MPs debating tough new cuts, higher taxes, as a way out of Greece's financial crisis.
We were the Lehman Brothers of nation states.
The protesters began throwing missiles at police. Soon, running battles were being fought around the square as police desperately tried to restore order.
And then at some point, I was offered the position of finance minister in the midst of the worst part of the debt crisis.
He became famous for not mincing his words.
But he categorically refused austerity, which he once described as fiscal waterboarding. On the weekend, he accused his counterparts of terrorism.
And, of course, his motorcycle.
With a penchant for leather jackets, designer scarves, and his motorcycle, Varoufakis annoyed many of his Eurozone colleagues with his brash style. And he raised eyebrows for his fondness for the camera.
When we spoke to Yiannis Varoufakis, he helped us make sense of how the housing market entrenches inequality in Australia. But he also had a lot to say about what our economies will look like in the future, how they'll continue to transform and continue leaving people behind. Unfortunately, we just couldn't fit it into the series. So as a bit of a bonus, we wanted to share with you a little more of our transcontinental chat with Yiannis, who spoke to us from his beautiful home near Athens.
Yeah, an island off the coast, not far.
I'm also on an island off the coast, but I think it's probably a lot less luxurious.
Which island are you on?
I'm on Phillip Island. It's just like an hour out of Melbourne.
Matilda, I'm a motorcyclist. I know all about Phillip Islands. I've been to Phillip Island, I know.
And while I was tempted to then spend the rest of the afternoon chatting about the Motor Grand Prix, I realised that, you know, perhaps that wasn't the best use of our time with the former finance minister of Greece. So back to the economy.
What I'm saying is this. Capital itself has triumphed, but its triumph has been so potent that it mutated, like a very successful virus mutates into a toxic version of itself that kills off its host.
Yiannis says capitalism is dead, and now big tech billionaires have become like feudal lords over our data, online ecosystems, and even our thoughts. And as the title of his new book, Techno-Feudalism, What Killed Capitalism, suggests, he reckons this system has already fundamentally transformed our world's economy.
Look, to begin with, it sounds like a very crazy statement that capitalism has died, because wherever we look, we see capitalism, we see markets, we see wealth, breeding wealth, we see capital triumphing. Jeff Bezos is a capitalist in the sense that he has invested huge amounts of capital to build Amazon.com. But essentially what he's built is not a machine that produces other things like Thomas Edison used to, or Henry Ford. Those were very powerful men like Jeff Bezos and Zuckerberg and the rest, except that they were investing in machines making other stuff. Cloud capital, which is the capital of the platforms of big tech, is not a produced means of production. It's a produced means of modifying your behavior and mine. That's a very different kettle of fish, a very different kind of capital, which I call cloud capital. It has replaced profit with rents, going back to the Middle Ages, where rent was the main source of wealth for the aristocracy. No longer capitalist profit, rent. And it has replaced markets with these digital fiefdoms. You had the building up of these magnificent towers of paper money and derivatives that Wall Street constructed. That collapsed in 2008, and capitalism has never recovered since. Meanwhile, cloud capital came in, and we now have techno-feudalism. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
So in your book, you talk about these big tech giants and describe the online spaces that they control as cloud thiefdoms. Can you tell me a bit about how that works?
You know how it works. Everybody knows how it works. The moment you visit Amazon.com or any platform similar to that, or even indeed Airbnb or Uber, any of these platforms, but take Amazon.com. The moment you enter Amazon.com on your laptop, on your iPad, on your phone, you exit capitalism. Because Amazon.com is not a market. It looks like a market. But let me remind you that in a marketplace, whether it's a farmer's market or a shopping mall, you enter with your friends, you look at the shops. There are many different shops. They're competing with one another. You choose which ones to look at. You have a chat with your friend. You say, what do you think of that? You can't do any of that in Amazon.com. The moment you enter into Amazon.com, what you see is determined by the algorithm that belongs to one man, Jeff Bezos. If you and I were sitting next to each other now and we typed into our laptop on Amazon.com, let's say, you know, electric bicycle or binoculars or red wine or whatever, yeah, you would get a very different list of vendors to what I would get, because the algorithm knows you and me intimately and tries to squeeze out of you and me the maximum rents that will go not so much to the vendor, but to Jeff Bezos, because you know that about 30 or 40% of the price you pay to buy an electric bicycle off Amazon.com doesn't go to the manufacturer, to the capitalist making that electric bicycle. It goes to Jeff Bezos. That is not profit. It's rent. It's a bit like Amazon.com being a large digital fiefdom belonging to a landlord, Jeff Bezos, who collects rents like feudal lords used to in the Middle Ages from the people who actually do the work on the fiefdom, the artisan who makes a bicycle, the peasant, you, who is providing all the their data to this digital fiefdom so that the digital fiefdom can extract rents.
So you're saying that we as consumers are actually building the value of these companies, that they're then taking our actions and turning it into data, which they then sell?
Take Uber. Its greatest source of revenue is increasingly becoming the data that it has on you. So let's say that those drivers were to combine forces and say, no more Uber, we will create our own app. And we are going to create a competing cooperative Uber, competing with the standard capitalist or techno-feudal, as I would call it, Uber company. Well, Uber has amassed so much information on drivers and on customers that it doesn't really care about this, because there's no way you and I or 20, 30 Uber drivers can create cloud capital of the same capacity as that of Uber. Uber knows not only where you've been when you booked an Uber cab, but what else did you buy that day? What time did you book the cab in relation to what time you listened to the ABC news? What is the correlation between your tendency to visit your grandmother with your tendency to go to a particular shopping mall? It's got all this information, and all this information is like gold dust.
We'll be back after this.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I guess outside of how we interact with these tech platforms as consumers, what about the workers who are working inside these companies? Like the person working at an Amazon warehouse, for example.
Come to think of it, it's quite fascinating that the same algorithmic cloud capital, the same software and hardware, which interfaces with you when you have Siri or Alexa, Amazon's Alexa, you're training Alexa to train you, to train it, to know you so that it can make recommendations of things that you buy from Amazon.com. Exactly the same software and hardware is running the show in the Amazon warehouses where proletarian workers are running around like headless chickens. They have a kind of small iPad strapped to their wrist, which knows exactly where they are in the warehouse, which monitors their moves, tells them, speed up, go faster. You have to go to such and such row or alley or shelf. But what is new, that now the same machine that runs the proletarian worker in the Amazon warehouse is interfacing with you and learning about you. It knows you better than your friends know you in important ways and in important sense, and implants ideas, which are usually very good, in your head about what you should want to buy, which the Amazon worker is wrapping up at the very same time using the same software to drive her or him and bypassing the market. Because this is what is spectacular. You see, Alexa, unlike a traditional advertiser, think of Don Draper in Mad Men, who had brilliant ideas about how to convince you that you want to buy Coca-Cola or, you know, a McDonald's hamburger or whatever. He's sitting on his couch, drinking his whiskey, his bourbon, and he has an idea. And then a poster appears, which is a one-way street. The idea goes from the advertisement, goes from the poster to you. And that's it. And then you have to go to the shop and buy the stuff. But now, the same cloud capital interfaces with you and actually sells you the thing directly. So you don't even have to get out of your house or enter any marketplace. Amazon will convince you to buy something and sell it to you and drive the Amazon proletarian in the warehouse with the same software to prepare it to be sent, to be dispatched to you.
So I guess whether it's capitalism or techno-feudalism, it does seem that things really aren't working out the way young people want them to. Why is it that we're seeing young people so fed up with the economic systems that they're currently living in?
In the last 10 years, I have noticed a complete change, not just in Greece or in Europe, but also in the United States and Australia, a complete change in the mood of young people. Now they are full of angst. Now everything that they do is part of producing cloud capital, because every time they upload videos on TikTok or reviews on Amazon or whatever, they're producing labor. They're actually working to replenish the capital of those companies, because what's TikTok made of? The videos people upload. So every time you upload a video or a review or even a like, you are adding to the capital stock of that company. That has never happened in the history of capitalism before. And you are being judged by that. Okay, that is not my idea of the ideal capitalism or the capitalism that is consistent with the sovereignty of the individual. I think that most people, young people, understand that, feel it. They know that it will be, you know, they will be 40-year-olds before they have a decent wage. They know that the real estate market means that they are excluded from, you know, the status of a well-thought-of person. And they constantly work for cloud capital, producing it and reproducing it in a context which diminishes and vaporizes their own capacity to be self-motivated and self-driven.
What would be your advice to young people who are navigating this system right now?
Well, look, every generation feels that the end times are nigh and every generation is proven wrong. So I don't want to sound melodramatic or pessimistic, but at the same time, it is important to identify the structural causes of apathy and a diminution in cultural capital on the one hand. Allow me to go back to a long dead Irishman, George Bernard Shaw, who said that there are two kinds of people, two kinds of young people. They are the ones, the sensible ones, he said this ironically, of course, who are trying to adapt themselves to the world around them. And they're the mad ones who try to adapt the world to their own ideas of how it should be. Be mad.
Yiannis Varoufakis, thank you so, so much.
Thank you very much.
This was the final episode of Who Screwed Millennials? If there is anything else you want to hear from us or a topic or a policy you think we should explore, please get in touch. You can email us at australia.podcasts@theguardian.com. And you can check out The Guardian Australia's Instagram and TikTok page for more Who Screwed Millennial content. In this episode, you heard from me, Matilda Bosley, talking to Yiannis Varoufakis. And of course, throughout the series, my amazing co-host has been Jane Lee. This episode was produced by James Milsom. Sound design and mixing was by Joe Koning. Our series producer is Miles Herbert. And our executive producer is Miles Martignoni. The commissioning editor is Gabrielle Jackson.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.